In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. Here's Elizabeth.
I want to talk to you this morning about the gift of suffering. If someone were to ask you if you would like to receive that gift, I suppose that our natural response would certainly be no. If the Lord told you that you could work out the conditions of your life, if you had an unlimited array of choices of what you would like to happen in your life, or where you would like to be, or what kind of a husband or children or job you would like to have, I don't suppose very many of us would think of adding to that list suffering. We would not welcome suffering if there were any way of getting out of it. But I'm completely convinced that there is no other way to learn to know Jesus Christ. You remember what Paul's ambition was. He said, all I care for, in fact, one of the more modern translations says, how changed are my ambitions. Now, all I care for is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Most of us would certainly say, yes, that's my ambition too. I want to know Christ, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. But do I have to know the fellowship of his suffering? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Now, in order to try to include everybody in this room in my definition, I'm going to start with a letter that I had recently from a little girl. This little girl suffered, but in what we might consider a very trivial and rather amusing way. But as someone has said, never underestimate the sufferings of a child, because a little child's suffering is a little child's suffering. And this little girl wrote to me, and she said that she had several younger brothers and sisters. I think she was 9 years old. And her parents announced that they were going out for the evening and that they had hired a babysitter. And she said, I was ticked off. I'm sure that she thought that she was perfectly capable of being the babysitter. I assume that that was the reason that she was ticked off. And the other thing that her parents told her was that she was not going to be allowed to watch the video that she had been looking forward to watching that evening. So she was ticked off for two reasons. But she said in her letter that she got a book and she took her little brother to the sofa and she read him a story. And she said, you know, I felt very happy and peaceful doing that. Now, what in the world does this have to do with suffering? My definition of suffering is not an original one. Suffering is having what you don't want or wanting what you don't have. Now, think about that. Can you think of any form of suffering which would not come under one or the other of those two headings? Having what you don't want. If you've got cancer, you have what you don't want. And if your husband just died, you want what you don't have. Now, those are what we would think of as the biggies, the big kinds of suffering. But we all have to learn, starting early, that there are things in this life that are going to cut across our desires and our hopes and our plans. And many of them seem like ridiculously trivial things, and we get very upset about trivial things. It's amazing how sometimes we can handle the big things. And it never occurs to us that getting stuck in the traffic jam or having somebody forget to say thank you to us, for which they should have said thank you, these are things which cut across our human nature, aren't they? Little things that we don't like. And so that's why I give you that definition of suffering, because I think it literally includes everything. If you can think of anything that doesn't come under one of those two headings that is called suffering, then please let me know. But this little girl learned that obedience is the road to peace. Acceptance of her wiser parents' choices for that evening was a great lesson that that little girl needed to learn. And she found happiness and peace, which she did not expect to have. Of course, she thought that she would be made happy by getting to be the babysitter and by getting to watch that particular video. But that wasn't the kind of happiness that the Lord had in mind for her. Now, in Matthew 16, verse 24, we read, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Now that is not the wisdom of the world, is it? If you want to be my disciple, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. And what is the world telling us today? We got to learn to love ourselves, right? We got to build our self-esteem. We got to feel good about ourselves and about the way we're doing things. Ancient man sought goodness. Modern man seeks happiness. And I really think that we Americans are practically obsessed with fun and comfort. And of course, any of the things that we pursue thinking that it's going to be fun or comfortable don't turn out that way, do they? And it's only the Lord himself who knows what it means to teach us holiness and who knows what kinds of situations in our lives will best contribute to that high and holy purpose of his. Obedience is the road to peace. People ask me, what do you talk about on the radio? What do you write about in your books? What is it you say to people when you travel around? My answer is very simple. Two words, trust and obey. Now, what in the world do I mean when I call suffering a gift? Paul says in Philippians, "Unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe, but also to suffer." Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe, and we know that faith in Christ is a gift, but also to suffer. It is a gift. Jesus said, "The cup that my Father has given me, I will accept." He spoke of the cup of suffering, but it was given to him by a loving father who knew exactly what he was doing. Now, I don't know anybody in this room except Glenda, and I know something about her and her family, but I don't know all the sufferings that she goes through. I know what she's told us in her story. But every single one in this room has some form of suffering, having what you don't want, wanting what you don't have. And that particular form of suffering, God has seen as a necessity. So if you're taking notes, let me help you with my outline. Point one, necessity. The gift of suffering is a necessity. Why should it be that way? Well, because we live in a fallen world, that's why. And because God is in the business of repair and maintenance. And he wants to conform us into the image of his Son. And that doesn't come naturally for any of us. And so God has to allow things to happen which cut across our human will. And that's what the cross is about. If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must deny himself and take up the cross. Now, understand clearly, you don't have to follow him. You don't have to be his disciple. Jesus says, Very simply and gently, if you want to be, or if anyone wants to come after me, to follow me, it's your choice, but this is what you have to do. These are the conditions. If you choose to follow Jesus Christ, you must give up your right to yourself. May I see the hands of those of you who find that easy? I'm looking, but I don't see a hand. Of course, it's not easy. But there is a world to be redeemed from pain, and it can only be redeemed through pain. Most principally through Christ's pain, of course. He could not save himself and save us. You remember the taunt that was flung at him as he hung on the cross? He saved others, himself he could not save. Or, if thou be the Son of God, come down, prove it to us, show us. And Jesus knew that he could not save us and come down from the cross. Necessity, the strange, mysterious necessity of suffering. As one writer has said, it is part of the plot of a love story. And some of you know exactly what he meant by that. It is part of the plot of a love story, and it is through our deepest waters, our darkest valleys, and our hottest fires that we learn to know the measure of the love of God. It is a necessity that we go through the deep waters and the hot fires and the dark valleys in order that we might see what love really is. God instructs us, ladies and gentlemen, not primarily intellectually, but he instructs us through adversity, through suffering and adversity. If our redemption could only be accomplished by him through suffering and death, then our sanctification is only going to be accomplished in you and me through adversity.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.